Good morning. I'd like to call this meeting of the House Education Committee to order. It is 9:04 a.m. on April 15th, 2026 in Betty Davis Room 106 in the Capitol. Members present are Representative Eichheit, Representative Dybert, Representative Underwood, Representative Elam, and myself, Co-Chair Himshute. So we have a quorum for conducting business this morning. I'd like to remind everyone to silence their cell phones. And the documents for today's meeting have been distributed to members and are available on the table outside the door and on basis. I'd also like to welcome Representative Underwood at 9:05. And I want to thank Kale Brown, the House Education Secretary from Records, and Susan Quigley from the Juno LIO for staffing the committee today. And, of course, our co-chair committee aides, Tammy Smith and Ella Lubin, who are absolute champions. Okay, on our agenda today, we have one item. We'll be hearing Senate Bill 143, an act relating to the terms of the Office of Municipal School Board Members relating to the size of the city council in second-class cities and providing for an effective date, from Senator Yunt. And I would like to welcome staff member Ryan McGee to come forward, put your name on record, and please present the bill. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. For the record, Ryan McKee, staff to Senator Yunt. Senator Yunt apologizes. He's got another bill hearing right now in Senate Finance, but hopes to wrap that up and join us here soon. SB 143, currently boroughs and municipalities are allowed to set lengths for assembly and mayoral terms, but are not granted the same ability to decide the term lengths for school board seats. SB 143 would grant municipalities and boroughs those abilities. The Mat-Su Borough, for example, has moved their assembly seats to four-year terms, which will see a cost savings to the borough since they no longer must host elections in the off years. However, this legislation would not mandate that the terms be changed, but instead make this an option should local governments want to change the terms of their school board seats, as they are already allowed to do for the assembly and mayoral seats. And then we also would allow cities with a population under 1,000 people to have three or more members on their city council, reducing it from the current requirement of seven. And that one hopes to make it a little bit easier for smaller communities who may not who may have a tougher time getting those seven required seats filled. And then going into the sectional, it's not too long, thankfully. Section 1, AS 1412-50, adds a new subsection D, which gives municipalities by ordinance the ability to alter terms of office. Section 2 amends AS 2920-130 by changing the number of city council members required for cities with populations under 1,000 people. Section 3 amends AS 292-20-300 by adding a new subsection C to the exceptions in Section A. Section 4, AS 2920-300, adds a new subsection C, giving a municipality the ability to alter the terms of office in A of this section. And then Section 5 sets an immediate effective date. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for the presentation. I want the committee to know we have Lynn Keneally, who is a local government specialist with DCRA, online for questions. And, are there questions from the committee now? Representative Elam.
Thank you. Appreciate you bringing this bill up, and I will definitely have to thank Senator Yunt whenever I see him as well. I appreciate this. It's actually something that we've been trying to do on the Kenai Peninsula for a number of years, and actually we've sent a couple of supporting resolutions down for this very same reason. And it was just so that we could get things more aligned and have the cost savings and just kind of the consistency factor of everything. So as far as the changes that you would anticipate, this just gives the boroughs or local municipality more control to be able to manage their elections, if I understand the workings of this bill.
Through the chair, Representative Elam, yes, you are correct. This would just give them the ability. So currently, like that we use the Mat-Su, for example, that they altered the terms of their assembly seats. And then they wanted to try and go do that as well for the school board, and were informed that because of a state statute, they weren't allowed to do that. And so, yeah, this would give them the ability, but then also because we do want to make sure that the public has a voice, this would also still require a vote of the people, almost like how we handle constitutional amendments here in the legislature.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Eichheit.
Thank you, Co-Chair Himshut. Through the co-chair, thank you, Mr. McGee, for being here. I have a couple questions. You know, what is the cost to run a school board election in the Nematsu? If you can give an example of what the cost is to the borough to run a school board election.
Ms. McGee.
Through the chair, Representative Eichheit, I don't have the exact numbers on, and I'll definitely get that to the committee. But we did see, when Senator Young gets here, he might be able to answer that. From the assembly, we did see a cost savings when we moved those elections. I want to say somewhere around $1 million, but I'll double check that on the machines and just the overall manpower that it took.
For context, I can say a special election in my town of 8,000 people cost $10,000, but that's a whole election. Did you want to answer from your perspective, Representative Elam?
Yeah, so served on the assembly for a couple of terms, and it was always several hundred thousand dollars for the Kenai Peninsula.
Okay, I appreciate that. Just continue. Yeah, I would love to hear what the Matsu's is just as a comparison, because I think that's the genesis of this bill. And then two questions related to the part of allowing cities less than 1,000 to have to reduce their number of seats from 7 to down to 3. Do you have any examples of communities, I assume, in the Nematsu that are having problems filling a full 7 seats? I'm very familiar with the Nematsu as I worked there for a few years. So if you have any examples, I'd appreciate that. And then also, are there any other states that have made a similar change to their statutes that allow smaller communities to have fewer folks on their government bodies?
Stephanie
yeah, for the record, Ryan McGee, staff to Senator Yunt, through the chair, Representative Eichheit. So this was an amendment that was brought in by the committee substitute and the other body. So this was from AML at their request. And so I can get some examples on that one, but that one was added into this bill prior to coming over. And then as far as states, I don't know other states off the top of my head that have done this, but I can get that for you.
Yes, please do.
Okay. Representative Underwood.
Thank you, through the chair. Thank you, Mr. McKee, for being here. And I just wanted to do a quick comment, not really a question, but just from serving on the school board in the Nematsu, I know that when our borough was able to change, just like he had said, borough was able to change their terms, and when they did that, and it falls on consistently when we have the presidential, it just drives more voters to come out. So I know that we wanted to change also the school board just for voter engagement. So I think that this is a bill that's geared towards having more voices be heard, especially, you know, we represent the Nematsu, but just it drives people out when they know a lot of people just want to vote for presidential years. But when your terms fall on those years, it engages more people. So that's my favorite part about the bill. So I just wanted to put that on the record.
Are there additional questions for the committee? I had one question. It's not outlined in the bill that I can find, but it would be an interesting political choice to do this. But can I assume that change, that choice of the people, right? So you have the option to do this. Each second-class city. So this change gets made by a vote, right? Like if you're a city of under 1,000.
If I may.
Representative Elam?
I don't mean to cut in on Ryan's answer there, but we just did very similar on the Kenai Peninsula where we changed our election date. And so it was a ballot proposition that was done by a signature collection and then ultimately had to wind up on the ballot and everything. And it sounds like this winds up on the ballot as well.
Yeah, I see it here in Section 4. The governing body has to put it on the ballot. So can this be done by initiative without the governing body mm-hmm. putting it on the ballot? So it could go either way, that the citizens put it on the ballot or the governing body puts it on the ballot. Either way, the citizens will vote.
Yeah. Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And before we go to – I don't see any invited testimony.
No.
So we'll go to public testimony in just a minute. Can you also I want to make sure I understand the genesis of the bill. It came to – wanting to change the school board terms to match for voter engagement and all the other reasons, not being able to do that. And then as you examined the issue of the school board, it came to light that also having the option to have three assembly members would be useful. So you just put all of that together into one. Or was there some other driving reason?
For clarification, are you talking about the three members down from seven? So that would be through the city councils, not the school boards. That was a separate addition, but we wouldn't be reducing the school board members down. This is just in school city councils that had a requirement of seven members on their council, and so AML had requested this amendment because they had cities that were having difficulty reaching that seven-member threshold, mm-hmm. and if they couldn't get it, then they couldn't. I guess
the bill accomplishes two different.
So this one, we're not trying to eliminate different school board seats or anything like that.
Right.
Those school board seats would remain the same.
Okay, great. Let's go ahead and if there are no further questions, we'll go ahead and open public testimony. And I want to remind folks who want to testify that they can call in from Juneau at 907-586-9085, from Anchorage at 907-563-9085, and all other areas of the state can call 844-586-9085. And I think we do have one person in the room for public testimony, and I'm not seeing anyone online. So we'll go to Lon Garrison with the Alaska Association of School Boards.
Good morning. Good morning, Co-Chair Himshute, members of the House Education Committee. Thanks for the opportunity to speak to you today. For the record, my name is Lon Garrison. I'm the Executive Director of the Association of Alaska School Boards. Senate Bill 143 is a governance bill, and it aligns strongly with AASB's longstanding beliefs and resolutions supporting local control and local governance. School boards occupy a unique role in Alaska, and they are locally elected officials fulfilling a state responsibility. And they are governing education on behalf of the state and their communities. While the state establishes those constitutional and statutory framework for education, it's the local school boards, elected through a locally determined process, that are directly accountable to the communities for how that responsibility is carried out. The balance between state responsibility and local control is a foundational piece of Alaska's system of public education. Senate Bill 143 is consistent with that structure, and it allows municipalities to determine whether adjustments to school board term lengths make sense locally while requiring approval by the voters. This reinforces the local decision-making and public accountability piece. This aligns with our beliefs and resolutions, which I have submitted in the written version of this. It includes belief number one, which is simply entitled Local Governance, Resolution 1.10, Local Control for the Operation of School Districts, and 1.11, Local Control for Determining School Board Term Lengths and Representation. There are also practical strengths to the bill. In some communities, aligning school board terms with other municipal elections could reduce election costs and support greater community governance, both important considerations. And at the same time, there are trade-offs. Longer terms may reduce the frequency of elections and opportunities for voter input. Some communities may value that continuity, while others may prefer more frequent accountability. I would add one other trade-off could be that there may be a reduction in the number of people willing to commit to a four-year term. So just bear that in mind. Senate Bill 143 appropriately leaves that decision to local voters. So in closing, AASB supports the principle of local flexibility reflected in Senate Bill 143 and its strong alignment with our beliefs and resolutions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Garrison. Are there any questions for Mr. Garrison? I have one. So I want to make sure I'm understanding this right. Mr. Garrison, it says, the governing body of a municipality may, by ordinance approved by the voters, alter the terms of office provided for in A of this section. So that term could be as little as 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 10 years. It's going to be 100% a locally driven decision.
Correct. Yep.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Thanks for your testimony. And I don't see anyone else in the room. I don't see anyone else online. So with that, we're going to close public testimony. And I'm going to hold, unless, are there any other questions for Mr. McGee? Okay, Representative Eichheit.
Thank you, Co-Chair Himshute. This might have been for the testifier, but it just occurred to me, again, what is the landscape out there in the lower 48? What, and or Hawaii, what other states have this kind of flexibility? And I'm specifically, I guess, Mr. Garrison's question kind of intrigued me that one of the possible trade-offs, it could reduce the pool for a longer commitment. So what's the landscape out there outside Alaska in terms of length of, in this case, school board terms?
So is the question, in general, do other places have two-year terms or four-year terms? Or
Exactly.
Okay.
Ryan, for the record, Ryan McKee, staff to Senator Young, through the chair, Representative Eichheit. I'm thinking a lot of them are the 3 years. I will go ahead and dig into that a little bit deeper and make sure that the committee gets the answers to the questions that were asked. But I would venture to say that most of them probably keep the 3 year. But I think this would, like our testifier said, would give the option. And you were worried about possibly extending the term, making it reducing the pool. This wouldn't set, you know, what might work for the Matsu Borough at 4 years might not work for like the city of Anchorage, and that's why we didn't set like a specific number for the term. It just gives the assembly the option to choose the lengths that fit their needs.
And it could work the other way, too. I've talked with people about school board, and they're like, I just can't commit to 3 years, and maybe they would mm-hmm. commit to 2 years. So, yeah.
Follow up? Yeah, I just, you know, I guess I'm very intrigued by the history. You know, how do we pull certain numbers out? You know, yeah, we make statutes, but what's the rationale for the, what is the underlying rationale? Was it just a bunch of people sitting around saying, oh, that seems like a good number? Or does it have some kind of history that guides it? And that's just so if you can find that information, you know, I'm giving you a lot of homework, and I apologize.
Happy to do it. Through the chair, so to the question, the basis of this was we saw when we altered the terms on the assembly and when we changed, when we moved those to four-year, to main election years, we saw the turnout skyrocket. But what we saw when we still had elections for the school board on off years, it plummeted again. And so the goal on this one is for the Matsu specifically would be to keep the voter turnout as high as we can get it and allow the school board to also be all the elections be held on years where there is a high turnout so that they can also have see the benefits of more people interacting and more people voting.
Okay. Representative Underwood.
Thank you, through the chair. Just on a quick Google search, it does say that the most common nationwide for school board term lengths are four-year terms. And then next would be 3 years, and there are a few with two, and then some 5 to 6 years, but the most common nationwide is a four-year term.
And Representative Elam, you had a – were you finished?
Yeah.
Okay, Representative Elam.
Thank you. Well, I know on the Kenai, you know, the goal that everybody had, and, you know, not everybody supported it, but it was a conversation that we were having, and it was really to align with the state election cycle so that it was either the two-year or the four-year term instead of being matched up in the middle, because we have 9 seats, 3 on a 3-year cycle, and then each year there's three elections, right? And, you know, it gets kind of all over the place whenever you start trying to do it. And so doing it on the 2-year cycle, which would match up with, you know, all the all the other state election stuff. That was initially what several of the thoughts were.
Okay. Representative Schwanke.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to thank you, Mr. McKee, for being here and bringing this up. I'm not as familiar with the municipal school board situation, so I really appreciate the good conversation here, and I'm learning a lot about that particular component of our school boards. I just wanted to kind of note that in rural Alaska and REAA districts, and I'm going to stretch, but I'm going to guess that some of our really small municipal school boards are going to be plagued with the same concern that we consistently have trouble trying to recruit people to run for the school board. But that said, once we capture you, you're in it for a long time because you realize how critically important it is and what the need is for the community. So I do see a lot of our rural communities with school board members that serve for many years, sometimes well over 10 years, just because they are dedicated and the community trusts them. So I really appreciate the conversation here. And, yeah, even a longer term, if you just can't hack it, you can always resign. So thank you for that.
Yeah, and I think it's when folks do stick around, with all things, I think you get better the longer you do something. And so that institutional knowledge that they get and their just even understanding the education landscape statewide plays a role in school boards as well. So, okay. Any other questions from the committee today? Okay. Mr. McGee, thank you so much for being here and for presenting the bill. And I'm going to hold Senate Bill 143 over and set an amendment deadline for Friday, April 17th at 3 p.m. And I'm going to take a really quick at ease. All right, we are back on record. And that concludes our business for today. We've reached that time in session where things are going to be a little bit fluid. So we're still working on what's going on next week, still working on what's going on Friday. So I would like to remind the committee, however, that today, for sure, we will have an education task force meeting at 3:30 here in the Betty Davis Room. And today's meeting will be on federal and state assessments and accountability. This concludes our work this morning in the House Education Committee, and we will adjourn at 9:29 a.m.